I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament, the New Testament book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 11. I'm only going to speak for a short time. And some of you are saying, you've said that before. I'm going to do my best to speak for a short time, but I want to make the point. And from the Word of God, help us to think about the things we need to be thinking about. We consider our Lord and the Lord's work through this local church. The longer I live, the more opportunity I have in the ministry. Now, over 56 years preaching, the more I'm grateful to God for what He's done in my life through the local church. So many churches are drifting, just drifting. And may God speak to us and guide us and help us to be deliberate in our worship, clear, just as clear as we can be, giving clearly the Word of God, and we must speak with urgency. There seems to be urgency missing, even among sincere, earnest people. The fire and the urgency is missing. May God give us that. As you have your Bible open in the book of Ephesians, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, pens these words, beginning with verse 11 in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This passage of Scripture has to do with the local assembly and God's gift. And God gifts the church. The Word of God says He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Every church receives these gifts from God. The apostles are sent ones, going as the Lord Jesus said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you, declaring the Word of God. Some prophets thundering forth the Word of God, forth telling the truth, declaring what people need to hear. And there's room, even in this moment, for prophetic ministry, not foretelling, meaning giving things that aren't given to us in the Word of God, but declaring with boldness, holy boldness, the Word of God. Some evangelists, there's a lot of confusion about evangelists. Our modern missionary work where people are winning people to the Lord, starting New Testament churches. I see this as evangelist. Most evangelists do not have an evangelistic ministry. They call themselves evangelists. And then pastors and teachers. And then the Lord very clearly says, for, I want you to mark that little word, for the perfecting of the saints. And then again, for the work of the ministry. And again, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God gives these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Think of that. I want you to take the time, please, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, to mark that expression. God's doing all these things to bring us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. This is our ministry. This is our ministry. Speaking the truth in love. Speak it with boldness. Speak it with fervency. Make sure we're speaking the truth. And it should be qualified by love. That's the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. Speaking the truth in love. And that's what God leads us to do. So how do we measure a church? Most of the time, people talk about a church and what kind of church it is, and they say things, sometimes kind things, sometimes unkind things, about the pastor or preacher. And I, being the object of some of the things they say, hear it. Sometimes I don't hear it. They say it behind my back. But I want them to say one thing. He helped us know the Lord Jesus. He spoke the truth to us in love. And he always measured our church not by the size, but by the spirit of the church in its likeness to Jesus Christ. There are people who say the kindest things about our church when they talk about size, but I don't ever think about that. I think about reaching people, as many people as I possibly can reach. All the people who work with our pastoral ministries tell me how many members we have, and you don't want to know. If you start looking for them, you won't be able to find many of them. I've been looking for some of them for years and can't find them. But they join the church, they become members of the church, and with that commitment, they should be saying, I want to be totally involved and committed to what this church is given to. Perhaps it's our fault, maybe a little of it their fault, that they never even think about what God has put us here to do. We have a continuing ministry empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the continuing ministry is the continuing ministry of Jesus Christ. We're attempting to do the same thing he did while he was here and he commissioned us to do by saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. By declaring to us, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses. Witnessing is unique. It is both a noun and a verb. We are witnesses, and because we are witnesses of God's saving grace and what he's done in our lives, we should be witnessing to people about the amazing grace of God and what he's done. Yes. Declaring what he's declared in his word. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Someone told me quite a while back, if we put all of our members together, we would have about 10,000 members in our church. I want to say, where are they? We have a responsibility to the Lord. And we thank God for every person. And the potential of every member is to be Christ-like. Are you Christ-like? Am I Christ-like? How shall we measure that? In our response to people? In our loving people? In our forgiving people? In our receiving people? Just today I saw a young man and his little brother walking into our assembly. And I thought many things about myself as a boy walking to church with my brother. And I said, when I saw them walking, may God help us to be faithful today to give them exactly what they need to hear, to speak the truth in love. They ought to be guaranteed when they have contact with any part of our ministry that it's like having contact with the Lord Jesus and his continuing work on earth being done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to have sessions about what we're to do. We just need to obey the Lord. He's told us what to do, no doubt about it. The way to measure a church is in its likeness to Jesus Christ. Now, I've said to you many times that I don't preach to be heard. I hope you hear me. But I don't preach to be heard. I preach to be repeated. So if someone said to you, what kind of church do you have? I want you to tell them, we hope it's like Jesus, his body on earth. If someone says, How do you measure your church? You say, we only have one way of measuring it. That's in its likeness to Jesus Christ. We're trying to treat people the way the Lord Jesus would treat them. We're giving the message the Lord Jesus gave. God has already written the book. It unfolds for us the unfolding drama of redemption, and it tells us what's happening and what's going to happen. Reminds us constantly of our inevitable meeting with God. So I'm living with that in mind, that I have an inevitable meeting with God, and so do you. So do you. I'm trying to prepare every day for the judgment seat of Christ, seeing Jesus face to face. Now, I want you to hold your place here. Remember that this settles so many things. And turn with me to the book of Galatians, please. In the fourth chapter of Galatians, this is a troublesome group Paul was writing to. And he hits this keynote in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Speaking tenderly as he pens these words, Galatians 4:19, my little children. That's such a kind way for God to address us. There are certain people that I grew up with who still call me by a nickname. If you make a $1,000 gift to Crown College, I'll tell you what it is. And if you already know what it is, you should be paying. But when they say that name, it reminds me of my childhood, reminds me of my family. My brother calls me that name, my sisters call me that name, and my wife has never called me anything but that name. Isn't that amazing? You always thought she just called me sweetie and honey and handsome and all those wonderful things. But she called me by that tender name. And this is a tender thing the Lord is saying. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. What powerful words. Of whom I travail. It has to do with birth. I travail, I suffer, I go through the pains. Of whom I travail in birth again. He travailed first for their salvation. Now he's travailing again. You ever think about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God working in the world? God and the person of the Holy Spirit working in your life, trying to accomplish something. He's working on me, he's working on you. What's the aim of his work? Look at it, it's so clear. The Bible says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." The other day, when I was alone praying, reading the Bible, I had the strangest thought about this church. The strangest thought. I came here to give my life. I wasn't in my 40s when I came. And a good group of men, kind people, extended the invitation for me to come to be their pastor and to pastor this church. And they're still here, God bless them, and I appreciate that so much. But I thought, I tried to be what ought to be. I wanted to be what I needed to be as a pastor. But by God's grace, he's worked in my heart. He's worked in my body. And I have experienced so many things from having to get to know him through that. I hope I'm not the same man they called to be the pastor. And I thought, perhaps in these days, I can give them the best I've ever been able to give them as the shepherd God's called me to be. But the Lord only wants one thing for my life, and it's the same thing he wants for your life. He wants Christ to be formed in me. He wants me to be like Jesus. The kindest thing you could ever say, and you may not be able to say it, but I hope you can someday. What was he like? He reminded me of the Lord Jesus. That'd be the kindest thing you could ever say. And I get so far from that sometimes, especially dealing with besetting sins and temper and anger and But I know God's goal is still the same thing. He's working in my life to have Christ formed in me. Now, he's in me. He purchased my salvation with his own precious blood. But what he's doing is working on me to have Christ formed in me. So the measure of the church is in its likeness to Christ. The measure of the pastor of the church is in its likeness to Christ. And if I had the time, I'd take you to the book of Acts, and I would have you read with me the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul had this final meeting with the Ephesian elders and reminded them. He reminded them that he would never see them again, and reminded them of what God had done through his life and their lives. It's one of the most tender scenes in the Bible. They're embracing him. They're covering him in their kisses. In Acts chapter 20, he's talking to them. He's talking about the ministry God gave him and finishing with joy. That's quite a goal. In verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." It's one thing to finish. It's nothing to finish with joy. It's good to have these goals, isn't it? Now, I'm nowhere near finishing, if any of you got the idea. I've got too many things in my heart to do. A businessman, well-known businessman, told me the other day, we were eating in the same place, and he came by and said, "Hey, Reverend, good to see you." I'm always a little suspicious of people who talk to me that way. I like to be called pastor. He said, "I made a deal with God." This was his expression. He said, "I got God to give me 5 more years of life." And I made my comment about that. None of us knows when the Lord will call for us. None of us. Whatever time it is, be ready. Be faithful. But be sure he's going to call for you. Because he's had an appointment with you. It's appointed men wants to die. So Paul, in this last meeting with these Ephesian elders, said, my goal is to finish my course with joy. And not only that, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And so I say to you, my goal is to finish with joy, miraculously finish with joy, and continue the ministry God has given us. Now we come to the Lord's table, and it is a very important thing because Jesus instituted it. And he wants us to be right with him when we observe it. We should have assurance in our heart that we've trusted him as our Savior when we observe it. We should ask God to cleanse us from any known sin. We should be serious about the things of the Lord. And we should think of him. He said, remember me when you do it. Remember me when you observe this. Remember that he shed his precious blood. He gave his body in the hands of sinners to do with him as they pleased. And they did. They crucified him. And we love him because he did it for us. Let's bow in prayer.